Just look at this garden. Bill Pettit raised these vibrant plants from when they were seedlings. Raised them with help from his daughters, Haley and Michaela. The kids actually did pull a weed now and then. The base of the memorial garden is behind the sun porch at the old brick mansion where Bill's parents live, Barbara and Bill Sr. They're in their 80s now, but they keep the big house clean and orderly, and they encouraged Bill to plant this garden while he was living here in those years after the tragedy. He designed it so the flowers, bushes, and small trees would form the rough shape of a heart. They curve up and around symmetrically before meeting at the center of the heart, where Bill built a, what's the word? I want to say trellis, Bill says and shakes his head. Not called a trellis. What's it called? Bill is walking through the garden with his new wife, Christine, a woman as vibrant as an acre of flowers. She's a photographer, and that's how they met. Well, kind of. They first met at the country club. She worked there. He played golf there. Christine was the club's marketing director and, to earn extra money, also tended bar in the founder's room, a cellar hangout where portraits of past club presidents lined the dark walls. She didn't know who Bill Pettit was when he would come in, which is to say that she didn't know he was Bill Pettit. She didn't know that his wife and two daughters had been murdered in their home after being tortured for hours, while Bill, who'd been bludgeoned in the head, was tied up in the basement. Christine was living out of the country when it happened and had missed the headlines and the incessant local news coverage on television. She knew only that this guy Bill was a member of the country club, and she knew she thought he was handsome. He would come in with his friend Ron after a round of golf, and they would talk a little at the bar. Bill would order a Diet Coke with three cherries. He and Christine might have flirted, the best he knew how after all these years. Some of the other women who worked at the club, Christine's friends, noticed and smiled, but they didn't say anything to Christine. Ron noticed, too. How about her? Ron said to Bill one Sunday afternoon after 18 holes, with a little smile. The girl behind the bar. Bill shrugged. He and Ron had known each other for 40 years. A lot went unsaid. Not called a trellis. What's it called? Arbor? Offers Christine. They are arm in arm. Bill is still searching for the word. Arch, he says at last. The heart meets at an arch. Oh, and there are some big lights up on that tree. There were big lights on those trees over there, too, but they came down in the last storm. And over there, that's a... I was going to say ambrosia, but it's not that. Christine says, rhododendron? No. Mountain laurels? No. Bill is scratching his chin, staring at the plants. He doesn't like not being able to call up the name. He likes knowing every name, in Latin. It's not that he has any lingering head injuries from the attack. He just can't think of the name. That's a mountain laurel or a rhodi, isn't it? Says Christine, ever helpful. No, you're 0 for 2, Bill ribs her. It's crap. It's not crap. Well, anyway, those are scabiosa over there. Buttonflowers. It's not a mountain laurel? No, not even close, dear. Get a book out. This is their banter. It's old married couple talk. They poke each other playfully, constantly trying to make the other one laugh or at least to tease out a smile. Around her, Bill's own laughter surprises him. He had thought that all of that, quick jokes, laughter, happiness itself, was lost to him for good. Artemisia? No, Andromeda. Christine was nervous that day a few years ago when she came over to take pictures of this garden. It was her first assignment as volunteer photographer for the Pettit Family Foundation, the charity Bill established in memory of his wife and daughters. She liked Bill, but she didn't know he liked her, too. She thought, maybe, but then, as they were walking through the garden the day she photographed it, Bill pointing out the different species, Christine taking pictures, he stopped at one point, looked at her, and reached up and touched her earring. Her heart jumped. She walked away, started taking pictures again. I was like, whoa, I gotta go, she says today. Bill rolls his eyes and smiles when he hears her retell the story. I just asked you where you got him or something, he says. I know, she says, but you were closer than normal. Okay. It was one of my favorite moments. He looks right at her, smiles, says softly, okay. They get in the car after their stroll and Bill scans the radio, nixing songs, playing DJ. Nope. 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 The road follows the meanderings of the Farmington River, and he's on a stretch with no stoplights, speed limit 50, cruising cruising along. Colin Hay! Bill has a near photographic memory, and he knows Hay was the lead singer of Men at Work, and the car fills with his acoustic rendition of Who Can It Be Now? Bill lets it play. Dense, leafless trees fan out in triangles from either side of the road, like a bow tie. Thin, horizontal white and gray clouds lash the baby blue midwinter sky. Nice blue, says Bill. Look at the layers, says Christine. They drive on for a minute without talking. Then Bill says, Farmington Tiramisu. Down Unionville Avenue, getting closer to Plainville, roads he could drive blindfolded. My dad and my Uncle Charlie used to run this package store here, he says. And that's where I used to work when I was 16, that shop, making sandwiches for the workers at Atlantic Pipe. Christine smiles and says he sure doesn't make sandwiches anymore. I got paid for it, he replies. You pay me, I'll make you a sandwich. I'll keep washing your socks. I'll just buy new socks. This joking around with his new wife, the everyday back and forth, is often what helps Bill get through the day. Talking to the radio, saying whatever comes to mind, trading quips. It's so normal, banal even, and yet it's essential. He never thought he would get this part back. Unionville turns into North Washington, and there's a cemetery on the left, across from a gas station. This is the cemetery the girls are buried in, Christine says, a note of sweet helpfulness in her voice. We could probably drive by there on the way back. Bill is impassive and doesn't say anything at first. He is often silent. In fact, silence is the thing you notice first about Bill Pettit, because for him, silence is almost a character trait. His ability to keep his feelings silent is the hardest thing to understand about him, and it is the source of his great strength. 5 years ago, two strangers broke into his home and destroyed everything that mattered to him, raped and strangled his wife, Jennifer, set a fire that took the lives of both his children and engulfed his home, to which he never returned. They beat him almost to death. Today, it is the very depth of his silence that has sustained him, that has helped him to go on living. That and the people around him, the people in this community, the people who have known him for the whole of his 56 years and who would do just about anything for him.